God, from the depths of our heart, I say yes, Lord. Amen, amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you read those scriptures about that, the Lord impressed her. It's not so much where you worship. It's the fact that you worship Him in spirit and in truth. It don't matter if it's in this mountain or this place or that place, but that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Good to be here this morning. I want to teach just a little bit. Try to get through in our allotted time. I want to teach just a little bit this morning on a lesson I titled, The Individual Temple of God. Believe it or not, everybody in this building is a temple. And if there was one thing that the Lord required of the temple, is that it be pure and holy. He didn't say pure in some aspects, holy in some aspects, pure and holy, period. Amen. So we as temples have to be pure and holy. I told Brother Baggett, I was talking to him briefly on the phone, and I said, since you talked last Tuesday night, it seemed like everything I read had pure, holy, heart. It just jumped off the page at me. You know, and I've come to believe this. Of course, the Bible is filled with all kind of good things from God. But I'm telling you, He hammers home the point that we have to be spotted, unspotted and unwrinkled and pure and holy. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, if you would like to stand. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that word reasonable service, interpreted in the original tongue, means spiritual worship. So we could read that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Starts in the mind. And that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Lord, touch us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. That scripture ends with the words, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I do not believe there are various different kinds of wills of God. It's three words that describes the will of God. Sacrificing animals to God was a very important thing under God's law in the Old Testament. We understand that. But God made it clear in the Old Testament that obedience from the heart is better than sacrifice of animals. Today we bring sacrifice of praise to Him. And just as the animals had to be pure, without spot, without blemish, when we stand in praise and worship to God, so does our praise have to be. Just like that. God wants us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, laying down daily our own desires to follow Him. And God has a good, pleasing, and perfect plan for every child of God. And it is our duty to find that. I tell you, He wants us to be new people with transformed or renewed minds. Amen. And only when the Holy Spirit renews us, re-educates us, and redirects us, then our minds become truly transformed. And I think I've mentioned this before. That word conform in the original text is sushimatizo, if I can say it right. We get our word scheme from that word, or schematic from that word. And you know what that means. It means to conform to another's example. In other words, if somebody gives you a scheme to follow or a schematic to follow, you conform to that or you're going to make a mess out of it. But what Paul said, I don't want you to be that. I do not want you to be conforming to every scheme and schematic that's coming down from the world. He said, what I want you to be is transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transform comes from the Greek word metamorpho. We understand about metamorphosis and how you morph into something. That simply means transform by a supernatural change. And this change is by a renewing of the mind or the spirit. To give you an example, a man in work clothes does not have the same schema as a man in his dress clothes. He has the same morphe, but he's different on the outside, whether it's dress clothes or work clothes. But on the inside, he is the same. It does not change. And outwardly he's different, inwardly he's the same. Paul says to worship God, we must undergo a change. If we're going to worship him with holy and pure hands, we have to undergo a change. Not of our outward form, but our inward personality. And I promise you this, if the inside is right, the outside will be right. Just don't think because the outside may look right that the inside is right. It starts on the inside. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. That's how we sang the little song when I was growing up. Amen. So we need to be metamorpho. We need to be transformed by a supernatural change. Amen. And the Bible talks about that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word perfect in the original tongue is teleios. That simply means that which has reached its end. Nothing more to complete it. So when you have done the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that's the end. There is no more. It's the same word in the Greek that Jesus used on the cross when he said, "It is finished." It wasn't a cry of defeat. It was a cry of victory. There is no more to accomplish. I have completed the perfect will of God. So we need to understand what that means. That which has reached its end, nothing more to complete it. So we need to be of a spiritual mind. Romans 8 and 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And Paul basically divides people into two categories, people of the mind of the flesh and people that mind the Spirit. I'm telling you, we would all be in that first category if Jesus Christ hadn't come and offered us a way out. We would all be fleshly minded and lost. I want to be transformed, not conformed. That's all a part of cleansing this temple and making it holy and righteous unto God. I tell you, a carnal mind is death. A spiritual mind is life and peace, according to the scripture. I tell you, when Christ comes into a person's life, I tell you, he or she is a new creature in Christ. Amen. For the mind of Christ is now in them. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." What? "Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Don't think alone that it's just a spirit thing. It has to do with the body also, keeping it pure and holy. I know when I was growing up, the old people used to preach, tobacco and alcohol is a sin. You know why it's a sin? It will destroy your body. And I made myself the promise. When my kids were growing up, I used to teach them against the evils of addiction, of tobacco and alcohol, because it will kill you. It will destroy your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, is what the book says. I always approached it from that standpoint. Other people may see it different, may just call it a sin, and that's it. But I'm telling you, that sort of stuff will kill you. Amen. So we are bought with a price, and therefore we should glorify God with our body and in our spirit, which are God's. We as mankind, we no longer have to visit certain locations or faraway pilgrimages. We don't need to do all that to find God. There's a song that says, He is as close as the mention of His name. Years ago, back in the time of Christ, they were required to go to the temple at least three times a year, the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of the Passover, and there was one more, Feast of the, can't think of it right now. But anyway, they were required to go to Jerusalem three times. You had to travel to go there. However, we're not required to do that today. He is as close as getting down on your knees and calling His name. And I am so glad of that. I tell you, and we should not treat this privilege in a very careless manner. I tell you, we ought to keep it sacred that we can approach God with reverence and humility. If we're doing right, or if we've slipped up and done something wrong, we can still enter into His presence and approach Him. I tell you, and after the new birth experience, that's when your body becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. That is your start. That is where you get started on your journey with Him. And you keep this temple holy and pure and clean. And I know following the experience of the Holy Ghost, our lives goes through a lot of changes as believers. And before salvation, we served our fleshly lust and we served the devil. But after that, we do an about face, change direction, begin to surrender to the Lord and becoming His possession. I'm telling you, He paid a great price for my ransom. The Bible says, a while ago I read it, you were bought with a price. And it refers to the price that was given to redeem a slave or a person. And I tell you, we need to be sure that we glorify God in these temples, in these new bodies, holy and pure. Amen. And this is a growing process when you receive the Holy Ghost, growing in the grace and knowledge of God, the Scripture says, and preparing us for a lifetime of service. So we need to keep in mind that our bodies, not only are we worried about our spirit part of our makeup, but our bodies, we need to keep ourselves our bodies pure and holy and take care of them before God. I don't guess I've ever told anybody this, but one person, and he goes to this church. He is a member of this church. And we were talking very intimately about things in our lives. And I told him, I said, I'll be the first one to tell you, I am addicted to food. I don't want to shock anybody, but I'm telling you, it can get a hold of you. Of course, it took some advice from a doctor and some waking up and getting a grip on my life and asking God to help me get over that. We got to first admit that we got a problem. Maybe not to one another, but to God. And God, it's you and you alone that's going to help me take care of myself. How can I be of any use to you if physically I'm unable to do anything? So I still pray and ask the Lord nearly every day, God, help me to continue to take care of myself. Amen. What is the purpose of the temple? It provides a dwelling place for God. God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And during this journey, God led Moses up to Mount Sinai. And he gave him the instructions to build the tabernacle and gave him the Ten Commandments. And he gave him this pattern for the tabernacle to be built in the wilderness. And this tabernacle was supposed to be a central place of worship and dwelling for Jehovah God. And many years later, we read about Solomon did the same thing. He got the instructions to build the temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And it was a magnificent building and edifice. And its dedication was pleasing to God. And you can read the story about how Solomon prayed. And the Bible says that the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the ministers and the priests, they weren't even able to go in and minister as they should because the power of God was in that place. And when Jesus declared, "It is finished," I'm telling you, the veil in the temple was rent in twain, as you all know, and signifying the opening of the Holy of Holies that we can approach and go in and approach God ourselves. Before that, only the priests could go in. And they were under obligation to be free from sin and adhering to the law. They weren't able to go in if there was something in their heart and their life. God would judge them and God would kill them.